Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Passion Podcast. It is your long-lost friend, Louis Giglio, and I hope you remember me. I'm the guy at Passion and in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Passion House, in case you forgot. I'm sorry that it's been over a month since we've brought to you the Passion Podcast, and I know it's probably been very difficult for you to survive those 30 days plus without us dropping down into your podcast box, but thank you for grace. It's easier for us somehow to do podcasts when we're on the road and things are going than when we're at the Passion House working hard every day, which is what we're doing right now, getting ready for Passion 2010. But happy Thanksgiving wherever you are in the world. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving wherever you are in the world, then come on, celebrate with us. It's a great holiday. You get to eat a lot of great food, hang out with your family and friends. There's nothing better. So happy Thanksgiving from the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia, to you and yours wherever you are around the world. I'll give you the heads up when the UPS or DSL or FedEx truck arrives, which will be momentarily now that we are recording. So welcome back. We're glad you're here. Thanksgiving, by the way, just want to say a couple things about that. I love it, and I just want to go on record as saying I'm a Thanksgiving person, Brad. I understand why Christmas has already come, but mostly economics, I think, is why that's going on. And we got Black Friday. Is that what they call the Black Friday thing? And now you can actually go shopping right after midnight. So you don't even have to wait till 4:30 a.m. to go to Kohl's. You can go at 12:05 and be right there on Black Friday and get all your Christmas gifts. And I think that's fantastic. I don't go to Black Friday and never will, because why do that when you can buy your gifts online on December 20th and still have them delivered in time for Christmas? But I'm a late minute shopper, and we'll talk about that around Christmas time, because I don't like talking about Christmas until Thanksgiving's over, except for playing a few songs off Chris's new Christmas album, which we are going to do on the podcast today. But other than that, we're not mentioning Christmas because it's Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving should have its own place. Of all people on planet Earth, we should be a thankful nation and a thankful people, and I love it. I would encourage you, by the way, and I want to share a passage of scripture with you just around that idea, but I would encourage you, if you haven't thought about it before, to cook a Thanksgiving fried turkey this year. It is one of my missions in life to try to win as many people to this cause as possible. You know, I used to cook one indoors at 722 back in the day, which was awfully exciting. The last time we did it, I ruined a good pair of shoes and almost caught the building on fire, but that was beside the point. Because I'll tell you about cooking the fried turkey. Some of you are thinking you're up in Virginia or North Carolina. Well, if you're in North Carolina, you totally get frying a turkey. Because in North Carolina, they have things called pig pickings, where they barbecue an entire pig in the ground in a pit, and then they just put it out on the table, and you just come along and pick the part you want out. It's very interesting. But if you're some other place in the country, like let's say Oregon or Michigan or New York, you're thinking fried turkey. That sounds like a bunch of, you know, Southern people doing that. And I don't know if I'm too sophisticated for that. I don't care how sophisticated you are. Think about frying a turkey. It's simple. Here's what you do. You go to Home Depot, buy the fried turkey kit. You get the burner, the whatever you call it, the bucket, the what would you call that? The pot. You get instructions, you get the whole deal. So for less than $100, you're in business right now frying a turkey. But there's a couple things you need to know. One, do not do this indoors. Do not fry the turkey indoors. It says it on the box, it says it on the pot, it says it on the burner, it says it on the oil you buy. Everything tells you do not fry the turkey indoors. So I have to say that for our attorney's sake. Do not wear shoes that you really are attached to, just in case. And the other key thing is that you need to get about an 8 to 10 pound turkey, because you don't want to fry a little scrawny turkey, because you'll end up frying it to death and it won't be moist. So get a significant turkey. You're not looking for a 14 pounder because it won't fit in the pot good. Get about an 8 to 10 pound. Maybe you could squeeze a 12 pound turkey. But the key thing is to put water in the pot first and submerge the turkey with the water in the pot to make sure you don't have too much water in the pot. Because the next time you put the turkey in, you're going to have oil in the pot, and you do not want to have too much oil in the pot when it's 350 degrees and you're ready to put the turkey in. So mark your level with water first, then fill it up with oil to that point so that you know your turkey will submerge and not overflow the pot with burning oil. That takes us back to the shoes that you really love in the first place. So that's key. Second thing is make sure your turkey's dry when you put it in the oil. That's just a rule of frying that a lot of people don't know. But you don't want to put things with any water. I mean, the smallest amount of water on a turkey going in submerged 350-degree oil is going to give you trouble. So make sure the turkey's dry. But that's beside the point, because you really should cake the turkey, because I'm all about frying the Cajun turkey, which is take as much Cajun spice as you can, pack that baby on the outside till it has a red crust around it, then drop it in the fryer. But the main thing you want to know, two other things, is inject the turkey to death. You want to inject as much garlic and butter or seasoning. Dale's is a great way to do it. Dale's marinade from our friends over in Alabama. But you want to inject as much stuff into this baby as possible before you fry it. So inject the stuff, let it sit maybe for at least 4 to 6 hours with the injected ingredients in it. So that can all sort of do whatever it does. Then cake it with the seasoning and then drop it in the fryer. You fry it for 4 minutes per pound, 350 degrees. And it's going to be the best thing you've ever eaten if you don't miss the last step, which is don't take the turkey out and lay it in a pan or lay it on the counter. Take it out. It's going to be in the pot in a stand. It's standing it up upright. Pull that stand out with the turkey and stand it on a counter and let the turkey rest in an upright position for maybe 15 to 20 minutes before you start slicing it. And this prepare to be wowed. And it's a fantastic thing. So that's all free. And I'll put that recipe up on my website so you'll be able to come and get to download it later for your holiday guest. But enjoy Thanksgiving. It's an incredible time. Let's don't forget that Thanksgiving is all about recognizing that God is everything, that we aren't anything, and that every good thing we have in life is none of us and all of Him. Ephesians 5 says, "Be careful how you live. Not as unwise men, but as wise men, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish." That would be frying the turkey indoors. "But understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." And here's the kicker, verse 20, and this takes a long time. It took me almost all my lifetime to get around this verse. But the last verse of this phrase says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father." That part's easy. Oh, no, it's not easy, but that part's easy to get your head around. "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I think that's when we really know we've come to understand how great God is when we can give thanks, not just in all things, which is another place in Scripture. And I've heard a lot of great sermons on that. You know, the Bible doesn't say you have to give thanks for everything. It says in all things give thanks. And then you come over to Ephesians 5 and you're like, yeah, no, it does say for everything. And that doesn't mean that I have to like everything that happens in my life. It doesn't mean I have to think everything that is in my life is good. It just means that I have to acknowledge that God is greater than everything. And so there's nothing that comes in my life that I can't at some point finally say to God, I didn't want to choose this. If I had it to do over again, I might not choose it. But thank you for it, because I believe that you're greater than all the brokenness of this world, and that you'll take everything at the end of the day and you'll make something beautiful and lasting out of it for your name. And I say that coming through a very hard time in my own family in the last month, being in a lot of dark nights, a lot of frustrating moments, a lot of pain. And I say that not from some little glib theological tower, let's just give thanks to the Father always for everything. I'm saying there's nothing that happens in life that at the end of the day you can't say to God, I don't understand this. I'm not really sure what's going on here, but thank you, God, for these circumstances, because in these circumstances, I believe you will do something that will be eternal and lasting. And it's just recognizing who God is. And I think Thanksgiving is all about humility. And I think humility is the posture of the kingdom. And it lets us know that we've been living in close proximity to Jesus. And if you don't have humility, by the way, it just says to me that you're not living in close proximity to Jesus. And you don't have the posture of the kingdom of God, because the posture of the kingdom of God is humility, which is just saying God's everything and I'm not anything, and all that I have and all that I am and all that I'll ever be is because of Him. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. I was at a gathering a few days ago up in New York, a bunch of pretty incredible people. And we were being served most of the meals we had in kind of a conference setting. And so here are these servers coming around. Most of them were some ethnic origin. It's Manhattan, and they look either Hispanic or Middle Eastern, or, you know, it's just a lot of ethnicity. I'm getting the feeling a lot of them might not even speak very good English, and they're coming around with the dessert or pouring the coffee or bringing more water. And I'm not lifting myself up here by any stretch as being the model, but every single time I'd be, thank you, thank you, thank you for more water. Thank you for pouring that coffee. Part of it is because I worked for a caterer when I was in seminary, and we did high-flying parties in Dallas and like the rich neighborhoods of Dallas where like these massive monster mansion homes where everybody was valeting their, you know, Bentleys on the way to the party. And I'm just a seminary student starving, by the way, with like two boxes of cereal, one stale in my apartment back home. And I'm serving these lamb chops and these good-looking little chocolate desserts and these ladders full of food and these flutes of champagne to all these high flyers of Dallas. And I do have to tell you and confess before you and God and everybody else and the people that own Cars Catering back in the day that I did eat a couple of the lamb chops off the platter, but I never ate them going out. I'd always eat them coming back. So if you were some little dainty rich lady in Dallas and you didn't eat your two lamb chops on the plate, I'm guaranteeing you a hungry seminary student could make good use of those on the way back to the kitchen. And I know that sounds terrible, and people are like, you did not eat leftovers off people's plates. And I'm like, come on, people, it's a lamb chop with one of those little chef's hat, you know, on the little bone sticking out. What, you ever seen what I'm talking about? It's like a little white chef's hat on the end of the bone of the lamb chop, kind of like decoration, and it's perfect, and it hasn't been touched, and no one's eaten it, and it hasn't been chewed on. It's just sitting there, and I'm like, man, that's one bite, bro. So that's like a detour through the guest bedroom in this 18, you know, room mansion that I'm in. Just a little short detour, bam, one bite, back to the kitchen. And I was a hard worker. I was the first one there and the last one to leave, and I worked hard, but anyway, what I'm saying is almost never in the history of Cars Catering, they may not even still be in business, almost never did anybody say thank you. It's just as if you blended into the woodwork. You're just part of the atmosphere. You're a guy that shows up with a platter. And I always have remembered that since that day, and not just because of that, but anytime somebody serves me something, I don't care who they are or who they think I am, a thank you is in order. And that's the little starting point for, I think, just having lives that reflect the glory of God. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you have a turkey, and I hope you fry it. Bake one also, by the way, if you have the means, because I think the baked turkey is part of the whole deal, and that turkey sandwich sometimes afterwards, which is really what Thanksgiving's all about. It's all about the turkey sandwich that night or the next afternoon. So have a fried turkey, bake a turkey, give away a turkey. There you go. There's the plan right there. That's the website. Bake one, fry one, give a couple away. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Early Christmas from Chris Tomlin's new CD, Glory in the Highest, which came out a month ago, but is now really kind of getting some traction. And I was there when we recorded it live last summer. Just a phenomenal two nights of worship. Enjoy this. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. And once again, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome back, and wow, that's beautiful. Just maybe the day after Thanksgiving, break out the Glory in the Highest CD and start playing it for the holiday season to come. That'll be really, really cool. And by the way, we've got an incredible research team here at the Passion Podcast. We've got an unbelievable staff, and we have discovered that Cars Catering is still in business. So let's don't send them an email or give them a phone call, letting them know that in fairness. Well, I don't know. I don't really feel like I owe them anything. I mean, it's not like, what am I going to pay for the lamb chop that I was going to throw in the trash can? So I guess if I should pay for what I was going to just dump the plate right in the trash can, then I will do that. You know, I'll make that up to them in some way, shape, or form. But They are still in business. They got bought just recently by a big monster company, but they are still operational, and we're happy for them. Go Cars Catering. If you're in the Dallas area and you're looking for caterers and for any of your functions, business, family functions, then by all means, I recommend Cars Catering. Give them a call. Tell them Louie sent you. And tell them the Lamb Chop guy from seminary sent you, and it'll be fantastic after that. Hey, quick word. We're going to turn the corner here a little bit and talk about Passion 2010. The podcast is called The Countdown to 2010 because we're less than 50 days out from a lot of university students and their leaders coming to Atlanta, Georgia for what I really do believe is going to be one of the most epic events that we've ever hosted in the history of Passion Conferences. And just want to catch you up on a little bit of what's going on. Most recently, by the way, we had the chance to be back with college students, which is really cool. In fact, I don't think we've done a podcast since Clemson, have we? I got a chance to be up at Clemson University a few weeks ago and be with some phenomenal people up there. Just a shout out, a huge shout out to Clemson FCA. These are some phenomenal students and amazing student leaders. There are no FCA paid staff at the University of Clemson. So you would think, well, they might have a little traction going on. I don't know about you, Brad. I didn't see any adult leader staff around. It was all student-led, student-run. Worship was all led by students. The leadership team was all a bunch of students. And so you're thinking, oh, that's pretty cool. FCA, Clemson, student-led. I bet they had 175 people there, maybe 220. I bet that sounds like a pretty cool thing. Well, check it out. We roll in there a couple Thursdays ago. They normally meet in a room that holds about 950 students, and they pack it out. And they almost always have overflow across the courtyard in another building. And so this night, they thought it's going to be a really special night, and so they added on a 717 session to go in advance of their 919 session. Had about 500 students show up for the 717 session, which they don't often do with 717, and so that was pretty amazing. Then the 919 rolls around, packed out, jammed, rooms full, across the courtyard in another building on a big screen. They're broadcasting the thing, and there's 150 ish students, 200 students over there watching the whole night on a screen because they couldn't get into the hall where we were meeting. And then these guys are technologically savvy. I mean, we think all these cool ministries are doing online broadcasting. Well, hello to Clemson FCA. They're broadcasting live online. And so they had another 100 or so students watching it online who couldn't get to either the overflow or into the main room. So all in all, Clemson FCA, we had about 1,500 students connected in one night, and that's pretty smoking. And I just want to say that fired me up. It reminds me of why we're doing what we're doing. And I know there are big national collegiate ministry movements around America and the world, and they're fantastic. I love them. They're led by guys that are friends of mine. But I love these grassroots, localized, student-led, student-initiated, under the radar. Who knows, there are 1,500 college students at Clemson coming to a Bible study, or 1,100 coming to a new thing that's just sprung up at Baylor, or you know, a friend we just met's got over 1,000 students coming every Friday night to this deal over here. Awesome. So Clemson, I told you that I'd give you a shout out and some big props if you kind of moved up the registration ranks and you were in ninth place among the schools represented at Passion. And I have to tell you right now, you're in third place, and you are chasing down the Georgia Bulldogs like big time and could overtake them at any point. In fact, we got a little glitch in our system I've just discovered, and if we actually merged all the data together, you might be ahead of Georgia at this point. So you came on strong. It was a great night. I loved being there. We got to go in at midnight to Death Valley, which was pretty cool, and touch the rock and run down the hill in the end zone and get out on the field and run around like idiots. And thank you, by the way, to the Clemson's finest police ever, who allowed that to happen without us breaking the law and eating any leftover lamb chops, which we were prepared to break the law. I don't mean that in a break the law sense, but we were going to sneak in with some students who knew the way in. But thank goodness the police arrived and heard we wanted to get in, and they escorted us in. So it's pretty cool. And in addition to Clemson, our Passion University tour went to Mississippi State, to University of Tennessee, let's hear it for the Volunteers, to Louisville, Kentucky, to Auburn, Alabama, to the University of Alabama, to Western Kentucky State University, to Virginia Tech University, and we partnered with Charlotte One to host an event in the heart of Charlotte. And Charlie Hall, Christian Stanfield, Steve Fee, and Fee Band, led the way. I had a little video message where I could appear at each place, and we're going to post that online, by the way. I'd really encourage you to watch it. It's all about the difference between existing on campus and expecting God to do something where you are that's supernatural and miraculous. And I got to admit to you that if we didn't believe in something supernatural and miraculous, Passion would just close our doors right now. We'd go away, because we are not fired up about doing events and doing conferences and getting a bunch of people to come to something. We really do believe it's possible for spiritual movements to break out on university campuses that impact the future generation and the destiny of people's lives and of our nation. And we're holding on to that. And you say, well, Louis, you should be where I am, man. I'm walking on campus today. I didn't see one person that even looked remotely interested in Jesus. Not one. In fact, everything I hear is opposite of that. It's anti that. The faculty doesn't get it. The teaching is all anti-faith, anti-God, anti-truth, anti-the-word, anti-anybody that would even believe anything like that. Administration doesn't seem to get it. Everybody's partying left and right. It's all about me and right now and what I want to do and the way I feel and everything goes. And I'm walking on this campus as a believer in Jesus going, man, this place is not going to change. And I get that. I just want to tell you, I get that. I've been on so many campuses and I understand what we're up against, and I get the reality, but on the other side of the reality is a resurrection, a real historical fact where someone came back from the dead by the power of God. His name is Jesus Christ. And so I get the reality, but I also know there's a resurrection, and as long as there's a resurrection of the dead, then there's tension in between what we see and what we hope for, and that tension is called that point of faith. And I just know that God loves that. The passage I used on the little video, and you can go to the 268 Generation site, click on Passion 2010, and I think you can just look around on the main page possibly and find this little campus tour short that I did. But it was all centered around this verse from Hebrews 11, which says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I've lived that out in a campus context, so I'm not just talking on a podcast today about a good idea. I've lived that out with students on a campus, and I've seen God move. And I know the reality is dark in many places. And even in some places, it's like there are 1,000 Christians here and it still looks hopeless because the Christians are clueless. Their lives aren't transformed. They show up at all these meetings and sing all these worship songs. But when you get back to the dorm or the apartment complex or the classroom, there really is no supernatural difference between them and everybody else. And I get that. And so it could be because there are no Christians or there are too many Christians that your campus looks bleak. But I hope that you'll be somebody, even for these last several weeks before the semesters wrap up, that just says, God, I don't want to just exist as another student with an ID that gets me in the library and through a line in a cafeteria. I want to walk on this campus expecting you to do something supernatural, not just in my life, but around me. And we're holding on to that as we head into Passion 2010. I want to tell you a little bit about that when we come back from this other break. FedEx man has arrived, by the way, so I'd love to pull him in. Maybe today's not the right day, but maybe just one day we could just have him come in and introduce him to everybody. And by the way, we're a shining stop on the FedEx stop, on the FedEx daily tour, because we have a small kitchen here in the Passion House, which is stocked with quite a nice variety of refreshments of different kinds. And it seems like they always come in, and Jonathan used to hang out in the resource world a lot, and they buzz through resources and just go straight to the kitchen from what I'm told. They just roll right on down there and have at it and then head on out. So sometimes I'm not really even sure they're coming to pick up or drop off. I think they might just come in by for refreshments. So this guy's coming by now. Let's see what he's got. Okay, he's got a huge dolly full of massive boxes that are going somewhere on the FedEx truck. So he's actually getting it done, and no refreshments. So we'll see if he comes back for a refreshment right before he leaves. I'll keep you posted. I know you're in great suspense, riding that shuttle bus to class right now at the University of Toledo. So we'll be back with you with an update. But here is Emmanuel from the Glory in the Highest CD, Chris Tomlin, also called Holy Manger Ground. It's a brand new song that Chris and some friends of his wrote for the Christmas season. I think personally it's going to be It's going to take its place among the great songs of faith around the Christmas holiday tradition, I hope for a long, long time to come. So here's a little bit of Emmanuel from Glory in the Highest, Chris Tomlin. Get the CD after Thanksgiving and begin to give it a listen. I think you're going to love it for the rest of the holiday season. And some of you are like, Louie, I've been listening to Glory in the Highest for a month, man. What are you talking about? I'm like, well, okay, you're a pre-Thanksgiving Christmas celebrator. That's fantastic. I don't hold that against you. There's a lot of room for both of us in the kingdom of God, so I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's fantastic and awesome. We'll be right back with some important 2010 information right after the break.
What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years, can he be found with broken by a baby's cry? Rejoice in the Halloween manger ground.
Welcome back to the podcast, and yeah, we're excited about the fact that I just said that the campus tour went to Louisville, Kentucky. Wow, there's a team member of ours down the hall, and when he hears this, he's going to be so frustrated. I should have just left it just for his sake, but we have a team member from Louisville, Kentucky, and you know, people who live in Louisville, it's a really big deal that you say Louisville, and it's not... It's Louisville. So you just leave a couple of consonants out, kind of scrunch everything together, kind of say it with some little attitude, and it's Louisville, Kentucky. So when you hear somebody on TV saying Louisville or Louisville, it's aggravating. So I must have had Louis on the brain, and I guess if I lived there, it would be Louisville. But since I don't live there, it's Louisville, so it's Louisville, Kentucky. So all you people in Kentucky that just were about to desubscribe or unsubscribe to the Passion Podcast, please stay with us. We love Louisville, Kentucky, and we do understand who you are. Here comes FedEx guy. Okay, here comes the update. Yes, he's got a blue Frost Gatorade. And he is rolling on out. So he took a big dolly full of stuff out. I think that was our dolly because the dolly came back and didn't go back with him. So we borrowed our dolly, loaded about 6 boxes of ground out. We're going to have him on, by the way, one of these days. He's in a hurry today, but we'll have him on one of these days just so you can meet him and we can, you know, we shouldn't be friends. I mean, these guys time it right. They know when we're having these podcasts, they show up. But there goes one blue Frost Gatorade on to the Gatorade. I mean, to the FedEx ground crew. So that's fantastic. I love that, by the way. It's very cool. I like being a place people want to stop. So Passion 2010, we want people from Louisville to come is the main thing. So a couple of other things, and we're going to go through these quickly. So if you're like, man, I'm not going to Passion, and it always gets to this point in the podcast, and I'm not going to get a chance to be in Atlanta, so this stuff's really not going to matter to me. Stay tuned to the 6 things that I want to say, because you can participate in what is going on here no matter where you are in the world today. So here they are really fast. 6 things about Passion 2010. Number 1, price goes up on December 1st. So if you are coming, you want to register before December 1st. That is a Tuesday. And at midnight on Tuesday night, not Monday night midnight going into Tuesday, but Tuesday midnight going into Wednesday, the price goes up. So make sure you get in at that price. We want you to come at the lowest price possible. Second thing is, it is not too late to bring people with you. Even if every 5th person coming to Passion could recruit one friend, classmate, leader from your church to come along with you, it would be unbelievable. And we have space, we've got room, we're not tight. So please bring somebody with you. It's not too late to think about that. Number 3, we're going through these really quick. Say you're not coming to Passion. Let's say you're a regular person out there in life. You have a job, you're working, whatever. You can sponsor a student to come to Passion 2010. While I was at Clemson, I probably talked to 5, 6, 7, 8 students face-to-face who were like, I really want to come. I just can't do it this year. Our family's going through a hard time. Finances are tough. Things are hard. $169 for me is just out of the question right now. We would like to sponsor up to 500 students to come to 2010. That's my personal goal, and I am participating in that. Shelly and I are. We were the first people in. We put the first money on the table and to help get us towards that goal. And maybe you're listening today and you're thinking, I'm not even a college student. I've never even been to Passion. I certainly can't go this time around. I wonder if you would think about making it possible for a student to go. All you have to do is go to our website, 268generation.com. There are three major bars in the middle. Events, About, and Delve. Click under Events. You'll see Donate. Click on Donate. Click Make an Online Donation. One of your options is Student Scholarship Fund. Click there, and your gift will come to us right away. We'll be able to contact a leader, and this is how this is going to work. We're not just going to put, you know, money out on the front porch of the Passion House, but we're going to go back to leaders that we know and trust and say, is there a student in your church, in your campus ministry, that you know wants to come to Passion, but that $169 is a hurdle they can't get over? We want to give them a scholarship. And that's all going to happen fast, so that's not something you need to do 2 weeks from now. That's something you need to do today if you'd like to help us do that. And I hope that a lot of you listening can do one scholarship for one student, $169 for Passion 2010. You might can do more. That would be awesome. Number four, we got six things, okay? Volunteers. We still need volunteers. I think we have had maybe over 1,000 volunteers at least fill out an application and come through the volunteer process, but we could stand to have another 100 or 200 really awesome people. The only qualifications are you need to be a hard worker, you need to love students, and you need to be passionate about stuff that you do in life, because we want people who are high energy, positivity, and you know, people always laugh at me when I say this or kind of look at me funny, but it would help if you were, I don't know how to say it, Jonathan, but it would help if you're normal. And I don't mean that in any other negative way other than it's a hardworking team. It's not, we don't need volunteers that we have to help. We want volunteers that can help us. So if that's you and you're a hard worker, you're positive, you love students, you're passionate about life and you're normal, and you think you could squeeze away for a couple of days, January 2nd to the 5th, and come and serve alongside me. I'm not inviting you to come and volunteer. I'm inviting you to come and serve alongside me, because that's what I'll be doing there for the 4 days and the couple of days before and the couple of days after. I'll just be serving students, and I would love for you to come serve alongside me. It's hard work. You need to know that up front. It's not a cush job. You don't get a guaranteed seat in every session. You don't get to kick back and listen to John Piper, Beth Moore. You might be working during John Piper or Beth Moore. But you'll get to hear enough, you'll get to see enough, you'll get to feel and sense enough to where your life will be changed, and you will get a taste of the sessions as well, and you'll get a glimpse of what it looks like to see 20,000 students worshiping together with all they've got, and it's an amazing time. So maybe you and your wife, or you and your brother, or you know, you and your son or daughter may want to come. You just have to be over 25 years of age to volunteer, and we'd love for you to come. Just go to the 2010 website, go to Passion 268generation.com site, click on Passion 2010. Right across the menu bar is the word volunteer. Click there. And it looks a little cumbersome because we just want to know who you are. And so there are a few questions we're asking you, but it's not like, you know, gigantic work. But think about it. Pray about it. And like I said, we don't really need 500 people. But God, if we could get 75 or 150 really great people to join the team that we have now, the 1,100 or 1,200 or however many people are already on our team, it would really make everyone's life a whole lot easier. Hosting 20,000 people the way we want to host them is a really, really big job, spread out over two venues, downtown Atlanta. So think about it and volunteer. Number five, just two more to go. Number five is really fast. We posted our updated list of universities on the blog, 268 blog, last night. 999 campuses represented. We caught a duplicate right away, so that bummed me out because we thought we just needed one more to get to 1,000. Now we need two more to get to 1,000. So we really have 998, but maybe someone registered today from a campus that wasn't on the list, and so maybe that put us back to 999. But any minute now, somebody's going to register from a school that's not represented on that list, going to put us at 1,000 campuses represented at Passion 2010. I started looking down the list. I said, I wonder if anybody from UCLA is coming. Look down the list. University of California, Los Angeles. Boom. I said, I wonder if their rival, USC, anybody's coming. Look down the list. University of Southern California. I said, let's go Ivy League schools. We got anybody from Yale? Yale. Harvard. Harvard. We got anybody from, you know, this school? I mean, we just start picking schools, going down the list. It's pretty extensive list of schools, but there are a whole lot of schools not represented on that list. So, and then there are four states completely missing. This is crazy to me. There are four states completely missing. So I don't even know why I'm saying this, because I'm guessing this isn't going to those four states. Maybe somehow we're not reaching into these other areas. But the states missing from Passion 2010 right now are Alaska. I mean, come on, Alaska. We're talking about Alaska. You know, we got people coming from Brazil. We got people coming from Kenya. We got people coming from Europe, but not Alaska. It is part of the United States, not in the contiguous 48 states, of course, but we still believe in you, Alaska. So Alaska's not there. Wyoming isn't there. Idaho is not there. And Vermont is missing. And Vermont is a place that's just dear to our heart. Back on our Road to One Day tour back in 2000, our one day team went to the University of Vermont, and they came back, I'm telling you, with a massive, massive burden for that state and for that campus. And I know we've had Vermont people in the past, but not this time around. So that means there'll be no catamounts from Vermont. There'll be no sea wolves from the University of Alaska, or Nanooks from University of Alaska Fairbanks. There'll be no Vandals from Idaho. Don't you wish that was your mascot? We are the Vandals, and we're going to pick your pocket and steal your purse. The Vandals from Idaho won't be in the room, and the Cowboys from Wyoming and the other schools in those states, which there are many and many more mascots. So if you're out there from Vermont, Idaho, Wyoming, or Alaska, and you want to come to Passion 2010, you could put your state on the map. One person could put your state on the map, and we're really loving that. And if you're just listening and you know a student in Vermont, Idaho, Wyoming, or Alaska, maybe they need you just to send them an email and say, hey, you know what? There are no students from your entire state going to Passion 2010. I'd like to make it possible for you to go and to push them over the edge. And then number six, and I'll come back on another podcast and spend a lot more time on this, but as you know, the heart of Passion is that worship and justice would be wed together, because that reflects the grace and the goodness of God to the world, and we want to be a part of what he's doing in the world to touch the world in Jesus' name. So Do Something Now is going to be a critical part of Passion 2010 again. There are 11 causes plus towels and socks. I'm not counting towels and socks, because once we come through the door, towels and socks is over. The other 11 causes will go on for quite a long time to come. If you're coming to 2010, please, I beg you, hear me now, and write this with a Sharpie on your arm, hand, leg, right now, or on a friend's hand, arm, or leg. And please tell everyone you know, up until the day you get in the Honda, in the church van, on the way to the airport, however you're coming to Passion 2010, bring a towel and a package of socks when you come. The towel does not have to be new. You can bring a towel from home. Preferably, the socks would be new. And if every student that comes through the door brings one towel and one package of socks, we are going to do something phenomenal to show the face of God to the homeless of Atlanta. So that's number one. But then there are 11 other causes that we're putting on the table. You find all these, again, Passion 2010 website. Go to the main page. Look over a couple of the boxes, the main boxes on the main page, and you'll see Do Something Now. Click on it. All the causes are there. But here's what we want you to know. We want you to come ready. So you have 40 days to go check the causes out, organize your crew, see if God will lead you to a specific cause, and then come prepared to pitch into that cause actually at the event. It's really not about here are the causes and will you make a pledge that you'll go home and do something this year. We really want to do something at the event. A couple of, just to give you an idea, some of the things we're working towards. A simple one is, it's not an unimportant one, it's just a simple one. We're going to send 3,000 Bibles to people in East Asia, in countries where the Bible is very hard to come by. But we have gotten the addresses through Bibles Unbound, the ministry partner we're working with. And so the Bible will be there, the address will be there, the envelope will be there. As a student or a leader at Passion 2010, you'll come, you'll put the Bible in the envelope, and you'll pay $1 toward the postage, and off you'll go. That's simple, as simple as it is. You'll take that person's name and address away. You'll commit to pray for them for the coming year. And so you've sent a Bible on their way, you've paid a buck to help it get there, and now you're praying for them and what God might do in their life. And we want to do that for 3,000 people. So it's simple. It's 3,000 out of the many thousands of people at Passion coming down, taking a few minutes, putting a Bible in an envelope, and paying $1, and boom, one of our 11 causes down right there. So that's how simple some of these causes are. Another one is we're partnering with an organization that is very leveraged in the sex trafficking issue, and we want to build a border outpost in Nepal to try to intercept women coming into India from Nepal being trafficked for sex slavery. And this organization is for $25,000, going to build several of these $25,000 outposts. We're just building one of them. And so that's $25,000, which sounds like a lot of money. But if everybody that shows up at Passion 2010 gave $1, we'd build one outpost. And so we haven't really hurt anybody yet, and we've done two pretty amazing things. We want to do micro financing loans for women in Haiti, which is really cool, through a great partner of ours. And for a woman in Haiti can start a business for $200. For $200, they can start a sustainable business that will provide income for them and their family and a way for them to advance themselves in society for $200. That loan will be paid back. The payback rate on these loans is phenomenal. It will transform the woman's life, and then she will become a part of a viable economy for people around her. So for $200, we want to help 200 women in Haiti start a small business. So we need 200 women, would be really cool. I know a man would like to get involved, but men just sit on the sideline on this one. We'd like 200 of the young ladies, coming to Passion, to come through the door and say, I have $200. Now, I know a lot of people don't have $200, but I think 200 people coming to Passion have $200. And so 200 young ladies come to the Go Center. They give their $200 for these 200 women in Haiti. A cause is done. So we've done the 3,000 Bibles. We built a border outpost in Nepal. And 200 people have helped start a business for 200 women in Haiti. And three of our 11 causes are fully funded right on the spot. That's do something now. And that's the heart of what Passion is all about. So go check out the causes. Do not come to Atlanta, please hear me, without checking out the causes before you come. Bring a towel, bring some socks, check out Do Something Now. Let God lead your heart to something and get involved. And then lastly, I'll just close with this in the Thanksgiving spirit. You know, Do Something Now is all connected now to 1millioncan.com. It's Thanksgiving. And I'm sort of the one talking on the podcast, so I can say this, but could I just ask you to help us with 1millioncan.com just around the Thanksgiving holiday season? We are at about $784,000, which is absolutely staggering in this economic climate. Our goal is 1 million, so we've got a little ways to go. And two causes I'd love to direct your hearts to. One of them is Sustainable Villages. That is helping people get out of IDP camps in northern Uganda and back to start a village where their village has been obliterated. There is no village to go back to. And so we can buy two oxen and a plow. We can build a shelter where a church can happen, and we can build a well that they can come back around where they used to live and establish a new beginnings for a new village. And we're trying to do several of these villages. That's Sustainable Villages. If you go to 1millioncan.com, just click on the little Sustainable Village link. You'll see the plan there. We have a team right now, by the way, in Uganda, or they just have just left Uganda, or are they still there? They just left there. They're shooting some footage for us for Passion 2010 with some friends of ours that are there. And they just were in an IDP camp in northern Uganda. And Jonathan, you were telling me that there were how many people living there? 40,000 people living in this IDP camp in 8,000 tents. So just imagine that's your existence. That's where you are, all because of one guy who started a war and took kids away from their families, destroyed villages, and now these people are forced into an IDP camp, and it's possible for them to go somewhere. They just have nowhere to go. So Sustainable Villages is something we're trying to do. I think we're about halfway to our goal on Sustainable Villages, so thank you for your help, but we got a ways to go. And then the other one is Cure International. Simply $1,000 surgery can change the life of a child with a deformity forever, and that could be a cleft palate or club foot or some other deformity that's going to alter their life, but something that can simply be fixed in the Western world, but not so much in the world that they live in the third world. And so partnering with Cure International, $1,000 does a surgery, and we're almost to the end of our goal there. We just have a few thousand dollars left to go to complete our goal with Cure. I'd love to see us complete those two chunks for sure over the holiday season. One of our goals on 1 million cans is going to carry over and to do something now at Passion 2010. But you know what? We don't have a huge audience here. I think we're like 509 people listening. And so that's not a lot of us, but I think in reality that maybe by the end of the day, several thousand people will listen to this podcast, maybe upwards of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people or more. I don't know. But let's just pick four as a number and say that 4,000 people. And I ask you, could you just think about this? If you just took 5 minutes, I know it's 5 minutes, you went to your computer, you went to 1millioncan.com, you clicked on one of these causes, you put your credit card number in, and you gave $10, just $10. That's it. Then we would have $40,000 towards these two causes at the Thanksgiving season. And that would be so cool. And that really hasn't happened in the past, to be really honest with you. When I mention it on a podcast, we don't see a jump on the website. So there's some kind of a, either it's too hard, you don't believe in it, you got too much else to do, it takes too much time, you're not at your computer, and by the time you get somewhere else, you forget. So I don't know. It's not like I say it and you're thinking, God, everybody's going to do that. And so if I don't, it won't matter. No, typically people don't do it. And so I don't know where the disconnect is between me and you, because I'm over here and I know I'm in and I know you're over there and I think you're in. But I'd really love it if we could kind of show what the whole do something now spirit is, which is all you got to do is 10 bucks and all I got to do is 10 bucks. And if everybody listening to this podcast just does 10 bucks, then we do something huge for the people in the world in Jesus' name. So happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's make it a grateful time of year for other people around the world in just a small, tangible way. I know at Passion City Church, we're going to be able to provide some meals for some refugee families here in Atlanta next week, and we're so excited about that. And I just encourage you through your church, your local ministry, wherever there's an opportunity, this is the time. It's always the right time to be generous, but this is the time to take that extra step towards somebody that has less than you do. And I don't know how much you have, but I promise you there's somebody around you that has less than you do, and you can help them in Jesus' name. Passion 2010, that's the six things. December 1st, registration, bring a friend, it's still time. Scholarship somebody for $169. Come to our website, help us do that. Okay, so I've already got you up to $179 now. But if you can't do a scholarship, which a lot of people can't, you can still do the 1 million can, $10. Volunteer, we need your help. Vermont, are you out there? Idaho, potatoes, come on. Wyoming Cowboys, we want you to be a part of this thing. Big Sky, Wyoming, come on. We're waiting for you guys to show up somehow. Alaska, we love it if you're there. I hope I got the Nanooks thing right. I think that's what one of the mascots is. I know the Sea Wolves is one of the other ones. And then do something now. We'll be back. We will have more podcasts before 2010. You promise, Brad, that we'll have more podcasts? That you give me your word on that? This will not be the last one for the next month that goes by, but there will be more. Jonathan, you guarantee it. Even if I'm not here, you guys will just do one. Is that what you're saying? All right. See, okay, well, we'll be back before Passion 2010 with several installments of the Passion podcast. This is the countdown to Passion 2010. Thanks for being with us, and have a great Thanksgiving.